Blog Talk Radio. Among the other birthdays today, we have Walter Chrysler, the guy who started the Chrysler Corporation and a building in New York City. Chrysler building is named after him. Chryslers were great cars. They were the muscle cars. And one of the problems back east, I've had several. My first car was a Chrysler car. Paid $100 for it and built a battleship steel. But difficulty in the wintertime because of low compression. This is what I was told. But they were still great cars, and it was a great corporation. Among the other birthdays today, we have Irene Selznick. She was related to David O. Selznick, part of the Jewish crowd that went to Hollywood and were creators of great films and plays and scripts. And she was responsible. I think she was the scriptwriter for Retire Named Desire, which starred Marlon Brando. Excuse me. Still got this cold. And remember, Dragnet, Jack Webb. And we may have a clip there. And, of course, I don't know what happened to Camille Paglia. Very articulate. She is a bisexual, or at least she self-identified. I don't like to label people unless they label themselves. I don't believe that people should wear their sexual purpose on their sleeve. That's your private matter, as long as they're adults. But she's very articulate, and she raised a lot of questions about some of the political agendas in the gay, lesbian, bisexual, I think transgendered constituency. That. Among the deaths today, Samuel Morse, who was the editor of the Telegraph. We had Simon Barr. I was able to get a photo of him. Here's a guy who died at the piano in 1950. It was a recital in New York City. And then, of course, there have been stories of conductors who have had heart attacks while they were on the podium. I mean, that, talk about dying on the job. This is it. The guy who wrote the Hornblower series, C.S. Morris Forrester, he died today on this date. Excuse me. And the French premier who succeeded Charles de Gaulle, Georges Pompidou, who was a banker to the Rothschilds, the Banque du National Paris is a Rothschild bank. One of the events today, the guy who claimed Florida for Spain, Ponce de Leon, he was looking for the Fountain of Youth, didn't find it. In 1792, just after America won its independence from Great Britain, the Philadelphia Mint, the first mint, was set up. The first woman to run for president after the Civil War was Virginia Woodhull. We have a picture of her. On this day also, talking about Selznick, the first motion picture theater was set up in, of all places, a great place, Los Angeles. And then, of course, in China, the first guy who was a political leader after the fall of the Manchu dynasty was Sun Yat-sen. He set up the Kuomintang, which the Chiang Kai-shek and the Sun family took over, and they're here in California. First woman to run successfully for Congress, Jeanette Rankin. She ran from Montana. They have one representative. And she was the only congressperson to vote against the United States going into war in both World War I and World War II. And she was defeated after World War II. And then in 1941, the Germans, I think it was the lawyer, Austrian lawyer, who was born a Catholic, rejected his faith. He was set up as the Gauleiter of Holland. He banned Dutch scouting groups and also was responsible for restricting Dutch citizens to bicycles. Jews could not have bicycles or autos. And things got so bad in toward the middle and the end of World War II that the Nazis even seized the bicycle tires because they needed the rubber. Now, getting back to, you know, people in San Francisco used to sneer at Tammany Hall in New York, in Chicago, the Kelly Daly machine. I say Kelly Daly because Richard Daly did not start the Democratic machine. The Democratic machine went back to the time even before Anton Cermak, who was the Bohemian, who was assassinated in Florida and with FDR in the car, and his famous last words were, "I'm glad it's me, Frank, instead of you." Afterwards, the Irish ethnic in Chicago and Cook County decided to get control of the Democratic machine, political machine, and Kelly was one of the people, one of the persons who got control and was one of the big leaders. Richard Daley came along later. Richard Daley was an only child. This is interesting for an Irish ethnic Catholic family. I came from an area of Chicago called Bridgeport, which had no blacks or Latinos, Mexicans, Jews. And he went to night school to study accounting, and I believe he also studied law. George Christopher, our former and late Baird mayor, used to go to Chicago, and Richard Daley would have a limo waiting for him at O'Hare Airport. And George Christopher liked Daley because they were both accountants. But what is interesting about the Kelly Daley machine was Daley worked as the finance director in Governor Adlai Stevenson administration during the late 40s and early, before Stevenson got the presidential nomination for the Democratic Party in 1952. And then Daley ran for Chicago mayor in a very close election in 1955 against a University of Chicago professor named Robert Merriam. And that was the closest and only close election that Richard Daley the first ever ran. But people out here used to sneer at the Cook County corruption, and they did have a U.S. attorney named, not Walker, this U.S. attorney prosecuted the Kelly Daley machine, and there were like 20 or more Cook County Circuit Court judges. We call them state court judges out here, and they were convicted of various forms of bribery. I mean, one guy took $50,000 compared to what happened out here, where one of the lesbian judges had her house secretly purchased by James Hormel, and he didn't record this on his economic interest statement when he ran at his nomination for ambassador to Luxembourg. But this U.S. attorney later ran for governor of Illinois and was elected three times. U.S. attorneys who are successful in prosecuting public corruption have the career open for them. In Los Angeles during late 70s and early 80s, I think it was Stephen Trott, T-R-O-T-T, U.S. attorney down there, prosecuted the bogus nonprofit conglomerate. The initials were acronyms for East Los Angeles Community Union. They were a big ripoff organization, and they lost their 501c3 status. Well, Trott later got nominated successfully as a U.S. District Court judge, and later became they sent him to Idaho. And I think he's still around with senior status, but this is what happens when U.S. prosecutors, U.S. attorneys are successful in prosecuting major political corruption cases. They have the road wide open for them for higher office, usually judgeships or sometimes attorney general of the United States, governor, senator, that type of thing. Of course, we have our corrupt ones, too, but we won't get in there. But here's interesting. Patrick Butler, a longtime great real journalist, he's talking about Chicago corruption. I think it's very relevant because Chicago corruption is so different from San Francisco corruption.
Mayor, a guy by the name of Echo, who after 10 years, close to 10 years of legal maneuvering, pled guilty to involuntary manslaughter because he got into an argument on Red Street with a guy who was about 5 foot or 5 foot, slammed him, knocked him down, causing the guy to hit his head, go to coma, and die a few days later. If it had been anyone else, the guy would have been promptly arrested and locked up. Because of the fact that we're doing the paperwork and all, found that this guy was a few of Mayor M. Daley, and the state's attorney did not want to prosecute. In fact, they lost some of the paperwork.
How convenient.
Oh, very convenient. The guy was able to literally get away with murder until finally such a clamor that 2 weeks ago he pled guilty to involuntary. What do you get for kill person in Chicago if you are the nephew of the mayor of Chicago?
Right.
What do you get? You
get
60 days. You get 60 days.
In Cook County?
Cook County Jail.
Oh, you go to Joliet
then
or so?
Then you, no, because you only go to Joliet if you're sentenced to more than a year.
Oh, okay.
If it's a year and a day, you go to Juliet or some other place. In this particular case, he had 6 days in jail. He has not yet begun serving a sentence, but I guess that's at everyone's convenience. And, I mean, in America, and only in some parts of America, does a guy get to make an agreement with the courts as to when he would go to jail.
We had a similar case, too. I got 30 days reporting to San Quentin. Is your state bill was your version of Quentin?
Yeah, now Julie itself, the old Juliet has been closed. Mm-hmm. They may turn it into a museum or something like that.
Hide all the devices.
But Stateville is still the penitentiary for this part of the state.
Oh, okay.
We have several other institutes.
Mm-hmm.
We have, for example, at Menard, which is downstate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Menard has, until they abolished the death penalty here in Illinois, Menard had what was known as the Treatment Diagnostic Center.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
treatment.
Yeah. Did this, John Gacy there?
Jesse was sent there.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
We know both.
And they, you know, really knew him.
Yeah. No intended. Finally cooked, so nobody's shedding any.
Well, as a matter of fact, yeah, some speculation, too, you know, where he went. And when the chaplain was leaving the prison, there were still some demonstrators pro and con inside the prison after the execution. And son asked, "Hey, Father, where do you think Gacy went?" And he put down. You know, priests don't usually say that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the party line to say we cannot speculate on what was going on in a man's mind,
mm-hmm.
and we cannot speculate, you know, on the massiveness
mm-hmm.
Of mercy. I mean, that's what you would say.
Mm-hmm. Now, isn't it getting back to St. Valentine's Day is coming up, and we have the infamous whiteout at the warehouse on North Street. Do Chicagoans and people in Illinois remember that horrible massacre?
Oh, yeah.
Or do they prefer to forget?
No. The city prefers to forget it. Like the city prefers to forget. The establishment prefers to forget that like they prefer to forget the Bag Theater.
John Dillinger.
They really,
mm-hmm.
You know, the public still remembers it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of reference to the St. Valentine's Day Massacre. Tourists want to see it.
Mm-hmm.
They're disappointed the old warehouse is still there.
I understand the last time I was in Chicago, I thought I saw an affordable housing project there.
Well, it was a senior housing project.
Oh, but I mean, you know, one of the, wasn't the warehouse.
No, the warehouse on the wall was... bricks were taken
mm-hmm, I understand.
And sold to a guy in Canada.
Right, Hoover, yeah.
Yeah, who put it in a bar.
Yeah.
And, in fact, it was like right outside the metro.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it was kind of the shoe gallery.
We will say no more. Now, I understand. I remember we're at the dear old Merrill.
Yes.
We would watch The Untouchables, which I call The Untouchables.
Yeah.
And when I worked at a courthouse, I did some of the sufferers of that period. Judge Wilson was dead.
Yep.
And I asked about the great LES, and they kind of sneered. Now, I understand a book come out. I had seen it. It was supposed to be an expose on LES that he really didn't do all these things that Walter Wood claimed in that piece of fiction.
Well, true.
Mm-hmm. And a couple other movies at it.
There were movies that made LES to be saying he was not.
Never was, either.
No, but they, you know, sometimes when a society needs heroes, they pick whoever's convinced.
Well, I understand. I did my research.
Now, Fiorello LaGuardia ran. It's an interesting guy. Here's the guy with an Italian name. He grew up out in Arizona, flew in the Army Air Force in World War One. Later went back, went to New York, and worked in the ghettos of New York and ran for mayor. And he ran against Tammany Hall. And here's a little clip with Fiorello LaGuardia.
greedy political machine. We are fighting this vicious machine, whether it is the machine of Manhattan or the machine of the Bronx. We are ready to fight Mr. Curry in Manhattan and Mr. Flynn of the Bronx together or separately. And to that end, we appeal to the decent, law-abiding New York citizens who love their city to rally to the support of the entire Fusion ticket. It is the only hope of rescuing and saving our New York City. The election in New York City this year is quite different from the usual political contest between the Republican Party and the Democratic Party. The people of the city of New York, in a fighting crusade, were able to destroy a powerful political machine. Other cities can do likewise.
Now, we don't hear here in San Francisco any public officials calling those who aren't hypocrites and don't want attention focused on their misdeeds. We don't hear any clarion calls for a radical reform, renaissance renewal, and inform our praise. So it just goes to show you that what the late David Fowler, who started some of these investigations back in the 80s, the Untio graft, Honest Graft. Honest Graft is the graft back east where I was once ago when I challenged a corrupt public official. He said, when you get the power, if you do, then you can get rid of us. But until that time, we're in charge, and we're going to keep you guys bottled up, and words to that effect. A follower called the graft out here, Genteel Graft, because these people, these grafters, these public corruptors, claim to help the poor, the little animals, the AIDS victims, they are for affordable housing, yet they steer government contracts and funds to their political supporters. Who don't account for the money. You can't even get audits. If you ask for audits, or you ask to attend your board of directors meetings, why do you have a need to know? Yet it's American taxpayer money that funds their lifestyle. And, of course, what's different about the San Francisco and Sacramento corruption is that ours is involved in major international drug scandals, the $1 billion worth of heroin. The biggest drug bust in United States history occurred out here in Hayward, California in 1991. It involved the head of HUD, Region 9, Robert DeMonte, I believe he died of AIDS, a guy named Chang. And we'll put this up. We have the federal court documents on this. I was told about it by a retired drug enforcement administration official. And, of course, a lot of this was not printed in the local press. This is interesting. Makes you wonder. Also, a lot of these politicians, a growing number of them, either have embraced the pedophile agenda or are intimidated by it. So this is one of the problems. We don't see this. We see prostitution, drugs, mug sharking, but nothing like the public corruption out here in California. And that's why Fowler referred to it as genteel graft. And, of course, there are media people like Dennis O'Patrick. He got a condo. He was involved in some public corruption out here. I'm ignoring hair of him since then. But interestingly, he is from Illinois. So we're going to end with our usual. And we'll be back Friday at 3:30 Pacific Standard Time. And hopefully we'll get some of this stuff up on our Nikos Paratis YouTube site. And we'll be doing what they call hashtags. I've got to learn how this is done on our Twitter. And the other accounts we have. So we'll end with our usual politics and poker, and we should say, I would hate to say, pedophilia and prostitution and pornography.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in. Good boy.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too.
Hit me with a kick.
gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year. Big Ace.
Ace Betts.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where's the sound?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here it goes.
Possible straight, possible flush, nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one, I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of jacks, bat out.
Politics and polka, politics and polka, shuffle up the cards and find the joker. Neither game's for children, neither game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, what to bet,
when to call a bluff.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paratrace.
Bet 'em.
Little trays, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your five.
I'll call.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Panyashinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run Al Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot!
Politics and poker, politics and poker, playing for a pot that's mediocre. Politics and poker, running neck and neck. If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck. Politics and poker, politics and poker, makes the average guy.
Paul Mazzola will be back Friday at 2:30 Pacific Standard Time. So go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AMICUSVERTA. Good night.